Okay, hope everybody had a wonderful day. With your permission, instead of moving on to the next Mishnah in Bikurim, I just had a thought today that I wanted to share with you as I was reflecting overnight. You'll see that that's appropriate, regarding one of the seven differences that we said between Bikurim and Truma and Maaser. So just to quickly review what the seven were, even though I'm going to focus exclusively on one of them. So the Mishnah says that Bikurim, a person could be makdish bikurim when it's mechubar lekarka. Truma and Maaser, again, it has to be separated out. It has to have gemar malacha, basically what we call meruach hakri, when the pile of the produce is set up. So that's where you separate out trumos and maaseros. But when it comes to bikurim, it could still be attached to the ground, as we'll see in Perek Gimel. Number two, osa adam kol sadeo bikurim. That as opposed to truma and maaser, you're always separating out. You're mafresh truma. There has to be chulin left over. And the same thing with maaser. So bikurim, in theory, you could say my entire field is going to be bikurim. You don't have to do that. But this is part of Elu Dvarim Shein Lehem Shir, HaPe'ava Bikurim, that Bikurim, the Torah doesn't give you a fixed amount on the bottom end or on the top end. According to Rambam Midr Abanan, it has to be at least a 60th. Fine, so that was the second difference. You're Chayiv and Achrayis. So that means that, again, you have to make sure that the Bikurim at least get to the Beis HaMikdash, Rishis Bikuriyad Mascha, Tavi Beis Hashem Elokecha, and if anything happens along the way, so you're responsible to replace those Bikurim. Whereas if I'm Mafresh Truma and I don't get it to Dr. Gertler, I don't get it to Rabbi Yitz, I don't get it to Jeff, we have a high percentage of Kohanim in the room. Okay, so if I don't get it to the Kohanim, so then I'm not obligated to then separate it out Truma once again. And then there are four things that you normally see in the realm of Kachim. So Bikurim is Chayiv and Tnufa, in waving it around, molechumevi malo morid. There's a chi of shir, there's a chi of karban, they have to bring a karban shlamim along with the bikurim. And then the seventh din is that there's a din of lina, that when you bring the bikurim, no matter when it is, so you have to stay over. And this isn't unique to bikurim, it's a din in all the karbanos, and it's of course a din by yantif as well, as the pasuk says, ufanisa v'aboker v'halachta li'olecha. So I was thinking about this a lot, and I was thinking about, like, what is the nature of the din of lina, that when you come to bring the bikurim, you know, you have to stay overnight. So I spoke about it yesterday, that it adds, of course, to the experience. It enhances it, right? It's not just an in and out. Oh, I got to run an errand, bring my bikurim, you know, and I'll be at home in time for the home run derby. No, it's not supposed to work that way. You're supposed to really be in Yerushalayim and be inspired by being in Yerushalayim. But the following thought occurred to me. I'm suggesting it tentatively. I haven't seen this in any of the Rishonim. But it occurs to me as such. You know, you often want to look for in the Torah for a precedent for this. Like, where do we see in the Torah that lina in a specific place is, you know, meant to be inspiring? So it immediately occurred to me that Chazal make a very big deal of this in the context of Yaakov Avinu. Vayifka b'makom vayalin sham kivah ha-shemesh. Etc. So that Yaakov Avinu, the Gemara is very colorful about this, that when he passes, you know, Har HaMoriah, even though the Pshat in the Pesukim is that he's in Beit El, but he passes through Har HaMoriah and he says, oh, this is the place Shehispalu Bo Avosai, right? That Avram and Yitzchak had this great moment of the Akedah here, and I can't just pass through this place, I have to, you know, stop in this place, and he even sleeps in the place. And what does the Torah tell us in this context? You know, again, Vayalin Sham. The Torah tells us that he has a great vision. And what's his vision? He realizes that the place where he's sleeping, Ein Zeh Ki Im Beis Elokim V'Zeh Shara Shamayim. And he utters those words, Ma Nora HaMakom HaZeh. In other words, he's inspired to a level of Yirah Shamayim. He realizes that this is the house of God. So I think that that is really the precedent for the entire din of Lina altogether, that when you come into God's house, you can't just go away, but you have to make like Yaakov Avinu, and you have to stay overnight. So I was thinking about this, I said, I think that makes a lot of sense. I was sort of internally compelled by this. And they said, but in Bikurim, it makes even more sense than just by a general korban. Because how does Bikurim start the entire process? So what do you reflect on? Arami Oved Avi, right? Of course we know. This is a reference, this is a machok, because we're talking about Avram Avinu, we're talking about, it sounds like we're talking about Yaakov, right? Arami Oved Avi, Vayered Mitzrayma, Vayagor Sham Bimtei Ma'at. We're telling the story of Yaakov Avinu. So it would only be appropriate to imitate Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu came, of course, to Har HaMoriah, Yifgaba Makom Vayal and Sham, and he practiced the din of Lina. So it seems to me that in the context of Bikurim, the din of Lina is really based on Yaakov Avinu, especially since, of course, we tell his story in the Mikra Bikurim. So I say it again with some degree of it's speculation on my part. I haven't seen this in the Yerushalmi or the Tosefta or in the Rambam, but it seems to me that the nature of the din of Lina is probably rooted in the Yaakov Avinu experience, in which case Bikurim would be a very specific application of the din of Lina. Rabbi Chanan ben Kasher, Metzor Kadosh Baruch Hu, Zakas Yisrael, Fikach, Yerbam Tar Mitzvah, Shneemar.